Thank you to Nathan. Just a couple of notices to bring to you then. Do be mindful, Sunday school teachers, of the meeting after this meeting, and so be in attendance there as you're able to do so. Monday evening then sees the Salt Group meet for their monthly meeting. Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. is the Bible study, and Thursday at 8 p.m. is the assembly prayer meeting, and our brother Andy Burns will be along even to bring a short report as we begin that meeting on Thursday evening. Friday at 10 a.m. is the Mums and Tots, 3:30 for the Silver Threads, and 6:45 for the Good News Club, and 8:15 for the BYF, and then coming through once more to Saturday, and the outreach team on the streets at 2 p.m. And be mindful of all these gatherings, and be praying that the Lord will bless us as we continue, even in his work and in his ministry in these days. Ladies, do avail of the sign-up sheet, so that we can get the numbers firmed up for the Christmas event on Wednesday, the 1st of December at 7:30. And that's a fork supper priced at $18.95, as well as a little program afterwards to enjoy a time of fellowship and fun at this Christmas time. It's hard to believe it's right here upon us, but nevertheless, such is the calendar as we move through the year. December is just right around the corner, and so the Christmas season is here, and we will once more rejoice even in that truth that God came in flesh, even to this world of sin and woe. We're going to further sing together, Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride, and then immediately after, our brother Nathan will come to us again before I come with the message. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified.
Thank Glenn also for playing for me tonight. It's a lot easier to sing when you've got a talented pianist to support you. So thank you for doing that. This last piece I'm going to sing tonight is called And Can It Be? For me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace. Emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my home. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?
Thank you again to Nathan. Take with me your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in the chapter 11. Book of Hebrews in the chapter 11. We're just taking one verse as a launch point for our message tonight. And that's a verse 31. It tells us, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. As you come to this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you come to what is commonly referred to as the Hall of Faith. For many are the accounts that are given to us of ordinary individuals who God used in extraordinary ways. How God spoke into their lives, how God used them even for special acts of service. And written upon the pages of Scripture, they remain an everlasting testimony to what God can do through a yielded individual. And as we come to the Word of God tonight, look down that chapter and scan with your eye and see the many names that pop out from the words that are recorded here in this 11th chapter. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and then Joshua. And then we come, of course, to those who are mentioned but in passing, because as the writer says, time would not allow him to go in to the accounts of all that are before us. And so as we come to consider this tonight, and as we look into the life of Rahab, the Bible describes her as being a harlot. Take courage, believer. For in the words of this passage, we see that the Lord empowers people, uses people, ordinary people, just like you and me. May the Lord truly raise up people in our generation who will go on to be warriors of faith just like these individuals. Come back to Joshua in the chapter 2, for that's, of course, where we find the account of this woman, Rahab. And we want to behold all that the Lord does in her life. We want to see that same work can be done in the life of any man, any woman, any boy, or any girl this hour. Let's read together from the verse 1 of the chapter. It tells us, Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, go ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the man said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, I shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thy utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound a scarlet line in the window. And in our reading there at the verse 21. So we come to the book of Joshua. We come, of course, to the early part of this book in which we find perhaps the most well-known accounts when it comes to the conquest of the land of Canaan. When it comes to the mighty works that Joshua even saw happen and transpire as he led that nation of Israel in the conquest of the promised land. And coming as we do to this, the first city that they come to, we know, of course, that as these two spies go out and search out what lies in wait for the nation of Israel as they will cross over the Jordan and enter into this new land, we see them come into the home, into the house of this woman that is called by the name of Rahab. And as we come to consider this character of Rahab tonight, I want us to consider firstly her person. Her person. For the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that she was a harlot. And you and I know as we come to consider the word of God that that is an unsavory term. It denotes to us that this was a woman who was engaged in unsavory things. She did not live a life that was well-pleasing to God, nor indeed did she live a life that was one that was well-regarded in the community in which she lived. No, forever and a day, she will always be known as one who dwelt in sin, lived in sin, embarked upon even sinful deeds each and every day of her life. But nevertheless, as we come face to face with this character, Rahab, we see one who not only dwelt in sin and the reality of it, but one who knew even what it was to be transformed. And that's why she finds her place there in Hebrews in the chapter 11, amongst those other characters that you and I refer to as the giants of the faith. That's why we believe that she's found also in the lineage of Christ when it comes to the genealogy that's given to us at the beginning of Matthew's gospel. For hers was a life transformed. But nevertheless, as we view her here in this moment, she is one steeped in sin, living in a lifestyle that you and I would very much turn our backs upon. But friend, as we come to this in the gospel, as we view this person, Rahab, tonight, that gives me great comfort and reassurance as we come to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. For the word of God reveals to us one whose life was unsavory, the choices of her life were unsavory, but nevertheless one in whose life the Spirit of God worked and God himself had his way. And so as we come to the gospel afresh tonight, that reminds me that no matter who you are, nor no matter what you are engaged in your own life, that God himself is able to work within you. That God is able to rescue you. That God is able to save you even from the very uttermost. And as many have said, from even the very guttermost. And so tonight, do not think that you are beyond the grace of God. For the grace of God runs deeper, and the grace of God is greater than any of the sin that you may find yourself in. And so as we proclaim this gospel message tonight, it is for the whosoever will. For God there upon Calvary's cross appointed and anointed Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for sin. Yes, even your sin. Tonight you may be here and you may be ashamed to admit truly all that you've been involved in. You may be ashamed to truly rehearse every deed of your past. But see in Rahab tonight that there is salvation available to all. So not only do we view her person tonight, but we view the great peril that this person, this woman, Rahab, found herself in. For as these spies come into the city and as she embarks upon this conversation with these spies, she knows, of course, that this is but the forerunner of all that will ultimately come to pass in the city in which she lives. She knows that judgment is going to arrive at the very door of that city. She knows that all who are found within that city face great danger, face ultimate death. And so as we find her here in this account that's given to us in this book of Joshua, we see an individual, yes, steeped in sin and marred by the things of this world, but we see someone who is also headed for disaster. God had pronounced sure and certain doom upon that city and upon all who remained within it. And so as these messengers come to her, they come, yes, not only to scope out the land, but come proclaiming that they are but those who come before the great army of the God of Israel, the one who will go with his people and see them even fulfill the very word that he gave unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to see a nation even settled within a land. Friend, as we come to the gospel, that is also true about the message that we proclaim. For whilst there is, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the ability of the gospel to reach down and to save anyone from any place, at any time, yet there remains the unavoidable truth that the gospel gives a clear warning of judgment to come. It's a sure judgment. It's a certain judgment. And for all who are outside of Christ, judgment will come, will surely come one day. Many there be who wish to hear a gospel message which delights their heart, which lifts their mood. And whilst there is, of course, many, many, many positives to the gospel message, we must always be careful to be faithful to the negatives of the gospel message. And woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Coming before you as a servant of God tonight, if you are outside of Christ, if you know not what it is to be sure of where your eternal abode will be, then I tell you that just like the inhabitants of the city of Jericho that day, sure and certain doom and disaster await you tonight. God will not be mocked. And all those who are outside of him will one day know what it is to face the reality of the judgment of God, to know the reality of eternal separation from God, eternal suffering because of the sin from which they refuse to repent. Oh, there's great peril. We remember, of course, that this woman was described to us as being a woman of faith. And so we see very clearly that she was one who was rescued from that peril. She knew what it was to know deliverance from all that great devastation that came upon the city of Jericho and those who were within her house, those who did what God had commanded, knew deliverance in that day whenever devastation and destruction arrived. Friend, that's exactly the same message we proclaim tonight. For as we come to once more be faithful to the word of God and point to the inevitability of sure and certain disaster for all who remain outside of him, yet in the message there's sure and certain hope for all who will believe. And if you know what it is to be gathered into the house of God, if you know what it is to be then gathered into the fold of God, if you come the God-appointed way, if you do what the word of God exhorts and commands you to do in the gospel, repent and believe in Jesus Christ, then your soul will be saved. And you will know too deliverance from the great wrath to come. So tonight we see her person. We see her pearl, but we see the purpose or the reason why she was delivered. Notice with me there in the verse 9, tells us there that she says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Behold, in that very set of verses there, the reason or the purpose that she was delivered. For the word of God tells us here of her response. The response of the city was this. They heard how a mighty nation had come out of Egypt. How a mighty nation had set out with the intent to know a land. But notice how that was 40 years ago. 40 years had passed since they had come across the Red Sea. 40 years had passed since they first knew the fear, the dread, and the terror of the nation of Israel to fall upon them. 40 years had passed in which God had delivered a message to them. But so many, if not all of them, had refused to heed that which was communicated in the message. Rahab stands apart from all the inhabitants of the city of Jericho. Why? Because she responded aright to the message that God was proclaiming. For as the nation of Israel was now at the very door, the very entrance to the land, all that they anticipated and feared 40 years ago was now about to unfold in their lives, in their circumstances, in their very families. But Rahab believed. Rahab knew what it was to heed the warning, to cast herself upon the mercy and upon the grace of the God of Israel. The God who maketh promise. The God who keepeth promise. And tonight you may have heard the gospel many times. And perhaps you're here in later years and you remember a time whenever the gospel came with freshness and with power. The Spirit of God put his finger right upon you. You said, that's for me. But tonight you're still outside of Christ. The fear and the dread of all that is contained in the gospel, the truth of the gospel, fell upon you in a night previous. But tonight you're still outside of Christ. You're still headed for doom and destruction. I tell you, the only way to know deliverance is to turn and to heed just as Rahab did. Perhaps you're here young tonight. And in recent days you have been exposed to the truth of the message of the gospel. In recent times you've been brought to a knowledge of who you are in the sight of God, a sinner condemned. It's been related to you how then that Jesus Christ came and in your place died upon the cross. Will you hear that message that is contained for you? Will you understand that the judgment of God is upon the sinner, whether young or old? Whether someone who has lived a good life or someone who is at the very beginning of life. The sentence of doom and damnation upon the sinner rests upon all who are outside of Christ. And oh, tonight, may you heed the gospel call. And may tonight, may the Spirit of God create that anxious thought within. May the Spirit of God bring the reality of that which awaits to be very vivid in your mind, to be very vivid in your heart. For to know tonight, understand and know that the Lord God, He is God. There is none like Him in heaven or in earth. Tonight He says unto all those who are outside of Him, repent and believe the gospel. If you look down that passage and see how the spies dealt with her, we see, of course, that they promised to her that her life would be spared. They did so because I believe that they identified the very confession of her mouth. Here was one who was not brought up as they were brought up. Here was one who was not exposed to the trysts that they were exposed to. But here was one who simply and fully cast herself upon the Lord. And vile as her person may have been, and vile as her deeds may have been, Rahab knew the same forgiveness, knew the same promise that each one of those who delivered the message enjoyed. Tonight, that's the promise of the gospel. This morning, we noted the truth that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And in Christ, we are made that new creature. And yes, you may come with all the baggage of the past. You may come with all the mars and the scars of this world. You may come with a life less than savory. But in Christ, you can be made a new creature. In Christ, you can know a new purpose. In Christ, you can know even a new family, a new belonging. In Christ, you can know a new destiny. So tonight, will you come the person that you are? Will you come and avoid the peril that awaits? Will you come and receive of that which is promised? All because you believe. And you do that which the Scriptures bid you to do. Friend, tonight, He won't turn you away. He invites all who will to come. He won't say no. He won't scrutinize or interrogate your past. He'll simply wrap those loving arms around. He'll lift you up. He'll establish your way. And He'll put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has He called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading, and steer for the harbor light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? That's the reality. That's the invitation. And as we sing together, I hear thy welcome voice. Will you come?